Wave Podcast, everybody. It's been a minute since I've been here in the studio. Some things have changed, but super excited for Billy at Thorpe Creative. He's doing his own thing now. I won't give away the whole story, but Billy has ran away. Runaway maybe is better English. But he is gone, but he's still going to be helping me at the end of this. And so pretty stoked for Billy and at Thorpe Creative. You can follow him there. But today's episode of My Wave Podcast, we'll be hearing from Alex Robeck. Robeck. Thanks for that correction. I think I have it in my phone as Robeck. So that's the way I've only known him. So Robeck will be sharing us his story of his most memorable wave. I can't wait to hear it. And I can't wait to hear your story. But before we get going, do want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Our sponsor for this episode is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is played like dodgeball, but with arrows. It's a mobile event that brings the fun to you. You can check them out at sullysarcherytag.com. And they look forward to working with you in the near future. If you like what you've been hearing, and it's been super exciting to get feedback from people, and you'd like to support the My Wave podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/mywave, and you can contribute there. The other day, somebody I don't even know bought me 10 cups of coffee. Now, if I drank 10 cups of coffee, I'd probably explode, but I was super stoked to have 10 cups of coffee purchased to help support this My Wave podcast. And so, I'm testing out some new equipment, and I've got the Zoom PodTrack P4. You ever heard of that, Alex?
No, man, I have not.
Me neither. Until
sounds fancy.
Until Billy said this is the stuff you need. So we'll see if I pushed all the right buttons. It looks like it's recording right now.
I mean, there's a lot of buttons on there. Yeah. I hope you did.
But there's some cool buttons on there too. Like I think this one is applause. Yeah,
I hope I get a lot of that today.
So yeah, we'll check it out. It's got some different things, different features I'm playing with. So yeah, hey Alex, super excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, man, super excited that you asked me to be on it.
Yeah, have you listened to any of the others?
I have. Yeah.
Awesome.
Listened to guy. I don't remember his name. Had cystic fibrosis. Yeah, charged a bunch of waves in
Jacob
Mexico.
Jacob Vendetti.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a cool story.
That really was. I can't wait for that documentary to come out.
Yeah, man, pumped on that too.
Yeah, that's gonna be sick. So, Alex, you and I met through Christian Surfers Wrightsville Beach. So, I think it was at a brainstorming meeting kind of thing, or an interest meeting.
It was like a get a bunch of pizza and figure this thing out
kind of meeting. Right. And that all came together. And you and your wife are like co-facilitators, administrators. What's the official title of that?
I think we could call ourselves facilitators.
Okay.
We'll go with that. That's a good title.
There you go. Yeah, but that was right before COVID, mm-hmm. that we got it together, and COVID happened. And then through connections with some others, we were able to start Surf Church and get that off the ground. And it really is a God thing. It was so cool.
Oh, man, it's been incredible. Yeah. What a ride.
Yes, it has been. So if you're at the Wrightsville Beach area visiting, or you live down this way and you want a unique church experience, we're super, super chill. I think it's very organic. Meets at 7:30 Sunday morning underneath the Oceanic Pier there at the south end. And we're in and out in half hour. Coffee, donuts, everyone's welcome. You don't have to be a surfer, but if there's waves, we surf before and after. No waves, we just sit around and eat some donuts and drink coffee.
Some good waves last week.
Yeah. That's right. When I left, you were waxing your board.
I was, yeah.
You had some fun ones?
I did, yeah. Caught a bunch. Surfed for about a couple hours.
Nice. Yeah, it was Sunday night. Mm-hmm. My son and I had some friends, and so we ran down and surfed for probably 2 hours right before high tide, and it was firing.
It got good, right?
Yeah, it was stomach, chest.
Yeah.
And long lefts and rights. There were guys on shortboard just throwing all kinds of air. I don't know who they were, but they were there. It was great. I wanted them on my podcast. I want to hear their story. Yeah. So, Alex, where are we going for your story, for your wave story?
So do you want my wave story, or do you want me to kind of lead up to it with my experiences that got me there?
Well, let's go for that. So what are you going to tell us about when you started surfing? Or
I was going to kind of share a little bit about how I got into the actual sport.
Yeah.
And then how I ended up getting the best wave I've ever gotten.
Do it.
So I grew up in Wisconsin, so a long way from the beach.
I lived there for 4 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, so cold. At? North of Green Bay by about 2 hours.
Okay. I grew up in a little town called Slinger.
Slinger?
30 minutes outside of Milwaukee.
Oh, wow.
But I always grew up doing action sports, but there obviously no surf, so I was, you know, skating in the summer and then snowboarding in the winter.
Okay.
Moved down to North Carolina when I was about 16, and met a couple buddies that liked to surf. And so, you know, being... into all action sports and stuff like that, I wanted to try it. So I ended up coming down to Wrightsville Beach a bunch right when I moved there. And we made all kinds of trips. And we'd go down to Bogunlet Pier. And there's a campsite down there. And we would stay there on the weekends. And
so where'd you move? Wisconsin to North Carolina, but where?
To North Carolina. I grew up in Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Yeah.
About 2 hours west of here. So
any golf? You play any golf?
Played a lot of golf. Yeah.
Did you?
Played a lot of golf for sure. So ended up, going down a bunch to the pier, came to Wrightsville Beach a bunch and fell in love with surfing. And then so when it came time to go to college, my first choice was UNCW, but I wasn't really ready to go to school yet. So I took a gap year and went and did a program called YWAM, Youth of the Mission. I don't know if you're familiar with it. So I did that in Sunshine Coast, Australia.
Oh, wow.
So that was where I really like kind of cut my teeth into surfing.
Yeah. What was it like there? What was the surf like there?
So I was in Sunshine Coast, Alexander Headlands. So there's Maroochydore. And then I actually really got into surfing. Part of the ministry there, I worked with Christian Surfers, Noosa. So Noosa Heads. A lot of reef breaks there, beach breaks out, kind of really up to you what you wanted to surf.
But. Yeah. Now, by this time, were you at that level where you could surf those kind of waves and that kind of break? Or
so, yeah, with my like experience like skating and snowboarding, I picked up surfing pretty quick.
Nice.
I wish somebody would have told me when I got my first board, though, to maybe get a little bit more volume.
Okay.
My first board was like an absolute blade. It was like a... I found it at a pawn shop in Australia. Because before that, I just borrowed buddy's boards when we came down to Wrightsville. And it was like a 5.7, like 24 liter, like little, just not really something that you want to learn on. But I guess it allowed me to pick it up. But definitely was a tough start. But so got to surf a bunch of really fun waves there. And then with YWAM, it's kind of like a discipleship training class. So you do that for 3 months and then you do two outreaches. And ours was always kind of like surf and skate based. So we did our school in Australia for 3 months on the Sunshine Coast. And then I went to the Philippines and surfed and kind of went around that area. Then to Papua New Guinea, surfed around Papua New Guinea.
Really?
So got a lot of really cool surf experiences like kind of like right off the bat.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, you know, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, what's the local surf population like? Is it pretty thriving
it kind of depends on where you were. We surfed a bunch of empty breaks in Papua New Guinea.
Really?
Not a huge surf presence, but luckily we kind of had some guides to show us where to go. And in the Philippines, I mean, there's a ton of surf in the Philippines. And
and a lot of surfers.
A lot of surfers, yeah.
Okay. Very cool. But Papua New Guinea, I bet the backdrop was incredible.
It was. Yeah. Both of those places are just unreal. And I wish it's been, so that was about 10 years ago now when I did that trip. So I don't really like remember the spots or
because
I was just getting into it and I just didn't like, I didn't know like how cool it was to be where I was.
Right.
But now looking back, I'm like, man, I wish I would have like looked up spots and like gone into
stuff.
But I just
didn't
at that point.
Any like scary stories?
Not really surf stories, but like the actual like area, like in Papua New Guinea, we were in like an armored area and we had like armed guards and stuff that. I don't know if it's still like that over there, but when we were there, it wasn't the safest place to be.
Okay.
Especially at night, so we kind of just stayed in the compound for most of the time unless we were out and about.
Yeah, but that's sweet. You don't hear a lot of surfing Papua New Guinea.
No, you don't. No, at all. And I've looked up like waves and stuff since then over there, and and it looks pretty cool. I'd love to go back.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, again, like got a ton of cool experiences there, and then came back, and then it was time to go to school. So I went to UNCW. And while at UNCW, I met some really cool people, and got to do some cool things. Really, you know, I had just got back from Australia, so I was like all in on surfing. So surfed a bunch. And then
did you go to class?
I did.
Okay.
I did as much as I could.
That's good.
Yeah. I graduated. So,
hey,
that's all you need, right?
Did you cram 4 into 6 or you get it done in 4?
I did it in 4.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Actually, I think it took me 4.5. I think it did half a victory lap.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, so, my first surf trip that I took outside of Australia, me and my buddy went down to Costa Rica, stayed in Playa Hermosa. Shout out to the Hermosa bungalows.
Okay.
Really cool spot.
Yeah.
But
that the resort you stayed at?
It's kind of like a resort. There's a guy down there that owns a few of them. He's got like 100 boards that you pay him $10 a day and you can just kind of swap them in and out.
Really? So nice.
It was a cool experience. The guy that I went with wasn't a huge surfer. He had gone a little, you know, a few times, but he was one of my good buddies. We lived together and we just kind of wanted to go do a trip. So. Yeah. Consult with a couple of my buddies and they said that it would be a good spot to go, so we went down there, got some really fun waves, got to see some cool stuff, but my wave story happened a couple years later. I went down to El Salvador with some friends that I work with over at a company that I work with here locally. We went to a place called K59. So super fun, Point Break, and get really big.
Yeah.
And when we got there, it was swell was kind of building. It was like chest high. The next morning, head high, and then it just kept growing and growing and growing. And so by like the third or fourth day, it was like 3 or 4 feet overhead. And like I had surfed big waves before, but nothing like of like consequence, I guess. Yes.
And so this is getting to those.
This is getting to the point where it's like, you know, if you can, you know, get longer hold downs and stuff like that, maybe something that I hadn't experienced too much before.
Yeah. Pause on the story.
Yeah.
What is it about surfers and travel?
I think for me, it's just, and that's kind of a cliche, but it's just like seeing new places, seeing new cultures, and it's, you just get experiences that you wouldn't get here. Because, I mean, you can surf. Like, you can surf in Wrightsville Beach. You can surf in Costa Rica. It's, you know, surfing is surfing. But I don't know. I think it's just the aspect of traveling with your buddies and, you know, like, loading up, getting excited for something, and then going down there hoping you don't get skunked.
Right.
I don't know. It's just something about going to a new place.
Yeah. So, but do all surfers have money to be able to do this? I mean, what is it that
it kind of
drives a surfer?
It does kind of seem like every surfer finds a way to get on a trip. Yeah, doesn't it?
They find that way.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. You know, even just in life, when there's something you love, you will make a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and surfing does have that addiction quality to it at times.
Yeah. No doubt.
But
sure.
Yeah, a lot of people you talk to either have traveled extensively and just to surf.
Yeah.
You know, like that is their vacation dream and goal and they go for it. Yeah. I love it.
I will say the one thing about surf trips, it's probably the cheapest way to travel, right? At least in my experience with surf trips, like I'm not going and staying at a resort. I'm staying at a $25 a night hostel on the beach. I'm not, you know.
Right.
So as long as you can get there, it's not really that expensive. It's pretty accessible.
Yeah. I've traveled extensively Central America, South America, but it was always on different mission trips. And so I've seen different places. I've watched breaks, but I've never gone until just recently intentionally to surf. So you're going to have to help me out.
You need to do the Christian Surfers mission trips, the surf and serves.
Yeah, we were able to do that one to Puerto Rico this past Easter. We're going to do it again, but I would love to jump in. Have you done any of those?
I did one in the Dominican.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I got into Christian Surfers in Wrightsville Beach
Okay.
was that trip.
some folks from Rice Beach?
Me and my wife had been married about 6 months, and we just decided that we wanted to do kind of a mission trip together. And so we started looking around, and I had remembered Christian Surfers from my time in Australia. And, you know, I came back and what really wasn't a part of it. There wasn't a chapter in Wrightsville Beach at the time. But met a guy down there by the name of Matt Beecham. I think he might have been on.
He was
on the pod. So met Matt, and he, you know, started talking about Christian Surfers. And I'll back up. So I randomly found the Christian Surfers trip on their website.
Okay.
So I was like, man, surfing and a mission trip, let's go.
Yeah.
And wife was completely on board, so we decided to do it.
Nice.
But got down there, met Matt, and he said that he was trying to revive the Riceville Beach chapter. And so got talking to him and told him we were really interested. And so did our thing down there, surfed, and did a bunch of cool service projects.
Yeah.
They put on a surf contest down there where we got to judge. And in the Dominican, there's not a lot of surf contests.
Really?
So... I mean, every good surfer on the island kind of came out of the woodwork and entered the event. And
there, money involved?
There was not money.
The prestige.
But these guys, it's just different down there. Like they get pumped on like being the best.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to make money. They just like they have all their buddies there because it's a pretty small little surf niche culture.
Okay.
And so the guys just like got pumped on,
yeah, you know,
being the best out of their group of friends.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds exciting. Yeah. We needed to check those out and see if we can get some, involvement from the Wrightsville Beach chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. We should definitely get on the next one.
Yeah.
And they do a few every year.
Cool. So back to your wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're
in El Salvador, at a spot called K-59. But it was just one of those days, kind of all time, you know, perfect weather, super calm. Waves were a few feet overhead, and I don't really remember a specific wave, but it was like one of those sessions where you just like paddle till your arms fall off because you're just having so much fun.
Right.
And so just, you know, reeling right, and they're all rights, and I'm a goofy footer, so
yeah.
I was surfing backhand, which isn't normally like my forte.
Right.
I mean, you kind of have options around here. Like if you want to go left, you can go left. There you really don't, because if you go left, you're in the rocks. So just one of those days, and I mean I remember getting a few waves that I was just like, wow, like that's why I love to surf.
Yeah. So what would you say was the biggest wave of that, trip?
So the waves kept getting bigger and bigger, and at a certain point that spot won't hold. And so after about the fourth day, we had to take a couple days off just because it got too big for the spot.
Okay.
But I mean, the last day, 3-4 feet, 5 feet overhead. So it was,
wow.
I mean, sizable waves for sure.
Yeah. Snap any boards?
I did not. No.
That's good.
And that spot too, it's not like, it's not really that top to bottom. They're more like mellow, just like huge walls that hit the reef and just kind of run for hundreds of yards.
Okay.
So they were just fun.
Yeah.
And then when it gets too big, it gets like top to bottom and just like close out. Just
okay.
Death wave. Stuff I don't want to be a part of.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. You got the score like that on a trip. Now I heard El Salvador is pretty good consistently, isn't it?
They get waves there. I mean, most days of the year there's always a spot to surf, and we kind of traveled around while we were there. We went to a place called Punta Roca. Really fun, and it seems like every wave that we surfed was a right point reef break.
Really,
we surfed one left at a place called El Zonte. That's where I had like one of the longest hold downs of my life.
Really.
It was actually on a paddle out.
Yeah,
but just like didn't quite make it under. And
So you were paddling back out.
Mm-hmm.
And here it comes.
Yeah, and I like tried to dive down, and it just picked me up and took me to the bottom.
Oh man!
Got another one on the head.
Oh man!
That freaked me out.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd had hell downs before, but that was one of the longest ones for sure.
Yeah, so that was that. I guess you can't technically call that a wipeout. It was just wrong place, wrong time. Yeah,
my experience wasn't ready for it.
Oh man! How long do you think you were down?
Long enough for me to start getting real nervous about not being able to come up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's where you start like seeing stars and stuff. And
yeah, no
you're good. Like, all right, I got to get out of this situation.
Yeah. So you just, did you panic? Did you relax?
I relaxed for the most part, but the longer, I feel like until you get a bunch of them, the longer you're down, you just like, it's, you can't help it but kind of panic a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I made it out. I'm here.
We're good. You're here. You're here. That's right. That's right. Your wife is happy about that.
Yes.
Were you were you married during that, at that trip?
At that time, no. It was right before. I think it was right before I got married. Yeah, right before.
Okay, so you were dating.
Yes.
You didn't tell her, did you?
She knows now. Okay. Yeah, she knows about that. That's one.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No secrets, right?
No secrets. No secrets. But yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to freak her out.
Yeah.
Because you got a little baby now, don't you?
We do, yeah. Little Luca.
Yeah?
He's going to be 4 months in a couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So fast.
I know.
Yeah, I saw him when you all first had him and brought him to Surf Church.
Yeah, little new
burn. Yeah. And then saw him Sunday, and he's already stretching out, man.
Yeah, he's ready to go. I got him in the water, just kind of dipping his toes in.
Yeah.
Like that. He loves it.
What board have you bought him already?
I need to get rid of some of my own boards before I get him one. But he's got a big selection when he's ready to start
there you
riding
go.
Them.
So what do you ride these days?
So I kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. I have some, you know, more performance shapes, and then I've gotten into more longboarding recently. You saw me on the beach the other day.
Yeah, what was that that you were waxing up?
That was a 9-foot Eevee.
Okay.
It's actually technically my wife's board.
All right.
But I ride it a lot now. It's just fun.
Yeah, I bought my wife a gun, and like an actual pow-pow gun.
Oh, a pow-pow
for
gun?
Her birthday one uh-huh. time. Thought it would be a great gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't like that one.
No, she didn't. So mm-hmm. it's your gun now?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've just been having fun with it. And then I just picked up a little 5.7 Glaston twin fin.
Okay.
So getting kind of more into the alternative shapes.
Right.
That one's by a shaper locally, Airly. Airly shapes.
Huh. I've not heard of them.
Yeah, they make really cool boards.
Nice. There's a lot, and I've interviewed a couple of guys
uh-huh.
that either dabble in shaping or have talked about different shapers in the area, and there's quite a few guys that are kind of branding and
yeah,
doing their
for
thing.
Sure. My first surfboard that I bought myself was a Shepherd. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Mm-mm.
I found it at Sweetwater, like,
really?
I don't know, 8 years ago maybe.
Okay.
Saw it was like North Carolina, so I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, have you ever shaped a board?
No. I've shaped an Alea, like the just like the wooden board, no fins kind of thing, but I honestly, it's more of like a decorative piece. I've never like gotten in the foam and actually shaped anything.
Right. Yeah. Me neither. Maybe
it's
one day.
It's on my list. I have a couple buddies that shape boards, and uh-huh. It's hard to find time to do that stuff at this point.
Do you find that once you buy a board, you have a hard time getting rid of it, or?
My wife would say that, yeah.
Your wife and my wife should not get together and talk.
Yeah. Yeah. My I think I have 7 boards right now.
Okay.
So
that's not outrageous. Not bad at all.
But when your board rack only fits 6 boards, it looks like you have too many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. So you're liking the longboard though?
Yeah, the longboard's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I took it out on Sunday for a couple hours, and I'm just learning. Like before that, I had never longboarded before.
Yeah, I've always shortboarded since high school. Moved down here, and somebody mentioned, hey, you ought to get a longboard. Put it in the back of my mind because, you know, I don't want to surrender and say that I'm old or whatever, because mm-hmm. only the old guys rode longboards. But I am old, but that's not the reason I went with
one.
That's not the point. No, that's not the point. No, the waves around here allow you the opportunity to ride all year round on a longboard, you know.
Absolutely.
And I've taken it out on some big days and had just a screaming fun time. But just every day, you know, knee high.
Oh yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah. I mean it's really obvious. I mean, just open up the camera any morning and there'll be 40 guys out there on longboards on the little ankle slappers.
Yes. Yes, they will. But they're fun.
So fun.
And you can catch them and cruise and hoot and holler with some friends.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
It's a good time.
It really is. It really is a good time. You have any travels for your future?
Not yet. Nothing on the books. But you know, we've been talking, and we definitely want to get Little Man on a trip soon.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're just trying to figure out what we want to do and where we want to go.
Good deal. Yeah. I would love to pack my family up and just hit the coast and hop place to place. My son and I did that. Just kind of get a little picture of what would love to do. A
little taste.
Yeah, I've got a little van and put a bed in the back, and so we fixed up some racks inside and threw some boards up there, and we were driving up to Pennsylvania, and I was like looking at the reports, and Outer Banks wasn't looking good, Delaware wasn't looking good, even Ocean City, Maryland wasn't looking good, but there was one little spot, Chincoteague, Virginia, and it was showing 2 to 3 feet at like 9 seconds with offshore, kind of hard offshore. And I was like, this is the only place that looks good. And I said, let's go. I remember surfing there once or twice in high school between Assateague Island and Chincoteague Island, Virginia. Uh-huh. And so we got there and walked out, and it was, I'd say, shoulder high on peaks and just these long waist to stomach high lefts and rights.
Just all the time.
And nobody out.
Yeah.
We ran into a family from New York that had three sons, and they just pulled up right behind us and like, where do we go? I was like, I don't know. And they were doing the same thing. They were on a little surf trip from Long Island coming south, and we were coming north and met there in Chincoteague and surfed with them for a while. It was just a lot of fun. It'd be a blast to just kind of hop the coast and check out some East Coast spots.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for Luca to get old enough to be able to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Give it a couple of years.
It is a sweet time to surf with your kids. I've got four boys and they've all enjoyed being in the water. Two are actively surf, mm-hmm. and it's just really,
just a fun time.
It is to be out there and see them progress and see them, you know, just enjoy something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stoked for you. Yeah. Stoked for you. So, what do you see, as far as the future of surfing? Here we are at the Olympics, and did you watch any of that?
I did. Yeah, I watched the final. I watched Gabriel get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exciting to see him in the Olympics, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad that they went with this kind of format and didn't do a wave pool.
Mm-hmm,
I know that I think that was kind of a discussion to like kind of level the playing field, but I think it just wouldn't be as fair. Cause I mean, there's guys that just, you know, surf pools all the time.
And right.
They're just amazing at it.
Yeah.
So, the waves that they got weren't the best, but I mean, those guys are just unreal.
Yeah. And they can make something happen out of not great conditions.
Out of nothing.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed to see USA get knocked out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the finals. But,
yeah. Well, John and Kolohe went up against each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Kolohe crushed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I was a little concerned about John because he's been injured so often recently.
That's what happens when you do the
insane aerials. Stuff.
Yeah. 10 feet off the lip.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not an above the lip kind of surfer.
No, I'm not either.
I'm just excited every day to get in there. yeah, my errors are accidental, and usually it's the board that goes up and not me.
Yeah, I've definitely tried my fair share, but
yeah,
it's just not, that's just not in my wheelhouse at the moment.
No. Well, man, what if you could leave some advice to up-and-coming surfers, what would your advice be?
I would say just have fun and don't take it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I know you see like a lot of kids out in the lineup, and you know, they seem kind of angry a little bit. They're just, but I mean, we're just all surfing, just having fun.
Right. And I had this discussion with a guy on a podcast a few episodes ago, and you know, asking the question, why is that aggro attitude? What produces that?
That's a good question. I think it's a lot of just people thinking that that it's like their waves and stuff like that. And it just depends on where you surf. Like, I mean, in Wrightsville, there's going to be a crowd. Like, unless you have some super secret spot that the entire island hasn't heard about.
Right.
There's just, I mean, it's just what happens. Everybody, you know, And I don't know about you, but like, I don't have 6 hours to go sit in the lineup. Like, I'm, you know, I get an hour and
right.
go surf a little bit, catch a couple waves and get out. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see people getting, you know, a little aggro about catching waves, but
yeah, but like, you see guys, and you don't see it as often as when I was maybe younger, but guys flipping off the wave when they mess up.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's yeah. or the wave closes out and they're, yeah. they start yelling at the wave and stuff. Yeah. It's like, that's not necessary.
No, that's, I mean, it's not the wave's fault.
Yeah.
The only, I mean, I could see like, because this happens all the time. You hop on a wave and there's four other guys trying to catch the same
at
wave.
At the south end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that advice would be just enjoy.
Just enjoy it. Just have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot of us are going pro, unfortunately.
No. I bumped into a guy that, he lives here. He's lived here since college, but he was riding a mid-length, and I was like, you still ride shortboard? He goes, when I realized that I was never going to be Kelly Slater, I just dropped it and am just enjoying the moment.
It's just so much more fun.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Well, Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, man.
And sharing a little bit of that story with us, and you know, got me thinking, man, where should my next trip be?
Yeah, let's go on one.
Let's do it. We'll stay in touch and see what's coming in the near future. I would love to go to Israel and surf Israel.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I was in a little coffee shop in Caesarea Maritime, so right there on the Mediterranean, and we were at one of the ruins and went in and grabbed some coffee. And it was big. It was blowing hard, but the waves were big. And
I didn't even know there was surf in Israel.
Yeah, they do a QS over there.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find it on the WSL app.
Uh-huh.
And I had a rain jacket. It was Quicksilver rain jacket. No, Rip Curl. And I was paying for the coffee, and the guy goes, in his accent, he goes, "Are you a surfer?" I said, "I am. Are you?" He goes, "I am." And immediately,
you guys had a moment.
Yeah, immediately we just started talking. There was nobody in line behind me. Everybody that I was touring with had already got in the van and they were waiting on me. And we just started talking about board lengths and different things, you know, like where he surfs. And he was like, you come back. And we'll go just a little bit south. There was a sandy spot that he said is a whole lot better, and that's the place he goes. He had a 9.2 and he had a 7.4, and he was just stoked, man.
You ready to hop in the truck with him?
I was ready to say to the tour group, go on, I'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be epic.
That would be. It would be. Well, speaking of Israel and seeing the sites of the Bible, you ever explored where surfing is found in the Bible?
I have not.
No? You might have heard it at the end of one of the episodes if you made it that far. But in Acts 27, Paul was in that shipwreck on his way to Rome. Ship got busted up. And in Acts 27, if I recall, I think it's verse 44, it says, everyone made it safely to shore. It said, some on pieces of the ship, so it was all busted up.
Yeah.
But then it says, and some on boards. So that makes a distinction between pieces of the ship and boards.
Whole ship's wood, right?
Right, the whole ship's wood. But these were they planks? Were they logs? What was going on there? I don't know. It's plausible that they got to the beach and one of the sailors looked to the other and goes, "Hey, you want to go back out and do that again?"
I think it might have happened.
I think so. Anyway, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in. And looking forward to hearing some more episodes in the future. Don't forget, if you are enjoying what you hear, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/mywave and buy me a coffee. Take care, y'all. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.